When you need expert help and advice on issues affecting your business, NFU Cymru, we're here for you.
Farmers Guardian is proud to work alongside the Rock and Roll Farming Podcast. For all the latest news and features from across the ag industry, head to fginsight.com. You'll also find a wide variety of advice pieces to help you and your farming business flourish.
Want to get to know the people who produce the food that you eat? This is the place. Step this way and welcome to Rock and Roll Farming. Rock and Roll Farming is proud to be part of the Farm and Rural Ag Network. For more great agriculture-related podcasts and vlogs, please visit farmruralag.com.
Farm Africa!
Oye!
Uganda!
Oye!
Kanungu!
Oye!
Youth!
Oye!
Women!
Oye!
Coffee!
Oye!
UK!
Oye!
What you've just heard is the reaction of farmers in Kanunga, Uganda, to hearing that Farm Africa's Coffee is Life appeal has launched. Between 8th of February and 8th of May, donations in support of my London Marathon Challenge will go to Farm Africa's Coffee is Life appeal. If you can donate before 8th of May 2019, all public donations to Farm Africa's Coffee is Life appeal will be doubled by the UK government. What a country. Your donation will support Farm Africa projects across Eastern Africa, and the matched funding you unlock from the UK government will directly fund a Farm Africa project that will give women in Kanungu in Western Uganda the opportunity to make a decent living from coffee farming. I'm trying to raise £5,000 to support the appeal, and if you could spare anything at all, we would greatly appreciate it. Just visit justgiving.com/fundraising/William-Evans12, and I will put that link in the show notes. Thank you. Hey everybody, and welcome to Rock and Roll Farming episode 115. I'm your host Will Evans, and this is a Farm Africa special. Regular listeners will know that I'm running the London Marathon on the 28th of April 2019 for this amazing charity and their Coffee is Life appeal, helping women coffee farmers in Uganda. It's just 4 days to go when this comes out, and I'm not even close to being ready. However, I thought it would be good to hear a bit more about Farm Africa and the work that they do. So firstly, I spoke to the head of communications, the lovely Libby Plum. She's the one who talked me into the marathon, by the way. And she tells us about Farm Africa and the work that they do. Then we hear from NFU Northeast Regional Director Adam Bedford, who is also running the marathon for them this weekend. And we talk about his visits to Farm Africa projects and the impression it's left on him, as well as comparing a few running notes. And lastly, I spoke to Ava Imami, who works in fundraising at Farm Africa's London office, to find out more about the Coffee is Life appeal itself and just how it will help to build better lives for women coffee farmers in Uganda. I hit 75% of my fundraising target this weekend, an incredible £3,750. And thank you so much to everyone who's donated. I'm genuinely overwhelmed by your generosity. There is still time for those of you who may wish to donate, and it's www.justgiving.com/fundraising/William-Evans12, and thank you as ever for your support. Hello everybody, so I'm here at the NFU conference in Birmingham. You can probably hear the buzz in the background, and I'm on the Farm Africa stand with their head of communications, Libby Plum. Libby, how are you?
Hi Will, I'm absolutely fine. It's great to be here, and it's great to meet you as well.
Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what your role is at Farm Africa?
So my name's Libby Plum. I'm the head of communications and advocacy at Farm Africa. So it's my job to talk about Farm Africa's work in Eastern Africa. So we work in four countries in Eastern Africa: Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda and Ethiopia, helping farmers to increase their yields and profits.
Wow, okay. And for people who don't know, just tell us a bit more about how long Farm Africa's existed and
sort of the thought process behind why it started?
Sure. So Farm Africa was founded in 1985. It was actually founded in response to the famine in Ethiopia then, and was founded by a doctor who said that the best medicine is food. So he wanted to tackle the root causes of hunger. So that's why he started Farm Africa.
Wow. Okay. All right. So the farmers that you are working with in Eastern Africa, what kind of crops are they predominantly growing?
So they grow a huge variety of crops. So we help farmers to grow vegetables, to grow staple crops like maize and rice. But we also help livestock farmers and fish farmers, so that a huge variety of different work.
Okay. Now, which brings us nicely on to your coffee is life appeal, because one of the crops that a lot of farmers are growing, especially in Uganda, is coffee. Why don't you tell us about the appeal?
Sure. So Farm Africa, on the 8th of February, we launched our coffee is life appeal, which is receiving match funding from the UK government. So all donations are currently being matched by the government. And the match funding from the government is going to fund a new project in Western Uganda, particularly focused on helping female coffee farmers receive the support they need to thrive in what's quite a male-dominated business. There's a huge amount of potential in the coffee industry for high profits, but a lot of coffee farmers, and particularly women, are really struggling to make those profits. So the new project will focus on helping women to engage in coffee cooperatives, as well as increase their yields and their profits.
Fantastic. So, and we're at the NFU conference, and you have a team of high profile people from the NFU running the London Marathon for you and the appeal in April. That must be a fantastic shot in the arm.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're very fortunate that Minette Batters is actually on the board of trustees at Farm Africa. So she's a great supporter of our work. As is Stuart Roberts, who's running the marathon a second time for Farm Africa. We've also got Adam Bedford, the regional director of NFU in the Northeast, and Martin Rogers and Jim McKean, also on the NFU team. And then, of course, you're running for us yourself, Will, for which we're very grateful.
Yes, it's all your fault.
My apologies.
My absolute misery, winter running. But, no, I'm sure it'll be worth it in the end. But so for people who may want to donate and support the appeal, where can they find out more?
So you can go to our website on farmafrica.org. Is the best place. And if you go to farmafrica.org/coffeeislife, you can make a straightforward donation, or you can find links to all of our marathon runners sponsorship pages there as well.
Cool. Okay. And yes, I should also mention that for every £1 people spend, is it? Well, you tell me if this is right, Libby. I'm sure it is, because I read it on the website. For every £1 that you spend at Farm Africa, 94 pence goes on charitable activities and 6% on generating funds. So anyone who donates can really be assured that their money is massively making a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, all donations are being doubled by the UK government at the moment. And also, if you're a UK taxpayer, you can also add 25% gift aid.
Fantastic. Okay, thank you for speaking to us, and keep up all the amazing work that you do.
Thank you, and thank you for running for us.
So now, on this Farm Africa special, I'm talking to National Farmers Union Northeast Regional Director, Adam Bedford. Adam, how are you?
Hi, Will. Fine, thank you.
Good. How's the training going? Because you are, like me, part of the Farm Africa team running the London Marathon on the 28th of April.
Well, it's okay. I'm surrounded by people who, when I have a moan about having to do this training, they look at me and go, well, you know, we did sort of warn you about this.
Yeah.
So it's fine, but I'm now looking forward to the marathon. I'm looking forward to it coming and going away again.
Yeah.
But it's fine so far.
Good. Has it been hard to find the time to do the training over the winter?
It is. I mean, I'm no busier than everybody else. It's a busy time in you know, doing the job that I do, but I've two young kids as well, a four-year-old and a two-year-old. So we have to try and balance all of these things. So it's a bit tricky trying to slot everything in. So I've probably done, actually more, I've done it once before. I've probably done more longer runs this time than shorter ones, which you would think would be better. But yeah, I've probably been saving things up to the end of the week and should have been running a bit more in the week, but we are where we are now.
Well, you can only do what you can do, can't you? But have you managed to enjoy it at all? Have you enjoyed some of the runs?
I have enjoyed it. I mean, you know, even though I sound like I've just been having a moan about doing this training, I did read your, you know, I did read the piece that you wrote actually in Farmers Weekly and thought that's interesting. You know, the different reasons why people have for running, and I would be similar. I find it really helpful to get out and clear your head a little bit, and actually sometimes I have quite good ideas about what I need to do at work or what we're planning family wise. It's good to get out of the house and go for a run, but it's not always that easy. But I find it good mentally as well as physically.
Yeah, definitely works for me. So what's been the worst bit? Just running on those dark, cold winter nights.
I think so. I mean, it hasn't been too bad a winter, really. You know, we could have had last winter, you know, doing the training. You know, that wouldn't have been easy. I think the worst bit for me is actually trying to get out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your running gear on and you think this is something that I need to be on doing. And it's unbelievable the number of jobs that need doing just while you've got your running clothes on in the house. All these small menial things that you never knew needed to be addressed right at that moment. So, handily, my wife just sort of tell me that I need to be out of the house if you've got your running gear on.
Yes.
No, here you going? And the kids tell me that as well. So probably the terrible procrastination that I have that overcomes me when I know that I need to go out of the house. That's the worst bit.
Yeah, no, I can very much sympathise. As you mentioned, you did run the marathon before a couple of years ago. Was that a good experience?
It was, yeah. The weather was pretty good and, you know, people will have heard this before and the people have said it to me beforehand, but you know, the crowd really does take you around because everybody's got their name on their vest and, you know, you're sort of helping each other along when you're doing the run because people, you know, the people doing the run are helping you because they're shouting your name out and the crowd do that as well. So it really does, it's quite difficult to describe until you've actually been in a situation like that. But you know, other runs that I've done, the Great North Run is the same. People really do will you to, you know, to get round. So it helps.
Yeah, so that carries you on through those last difficult 6 miles.
Definitely, and you know, back to what we were just talking about before, I think the biggest thing is for something like this, you've got to, you know, feel relatively okay physically, but I think it's a mental thing to try and get yourself round. But we'll see, it's coming up.
So how did you first hear about and get involved with Farm Africa?
I suppose it's always... it's always been part of my thinking in a way, really. You know, if we look back to something like 2008 when NFU was 100 years old as an organisation, we did some fundraising then. So that's always, and it's been part of what we like to think about in NFU, thinking about farmers operating in different countries. And then I went to Tanzania in 2014 and looked at some projects there, and then did the marathon 2 years after that, and now 2 years on, doing the marathon again. So I'm interested in what's happening elsewhere, and I really just think, you know, Farm Africa is a great charity.
Yeah, you've been out to Tanzania and Kenya as well and seen the work they're doing there firsthand. Can you tell us a bit about those trips and what you were doing?
Yeah, when we went to Tanzania, we were actually working with farmers, which was different to the Kenya one. We just went to look at some projects we were going and talk to people there. But in Tanzania, we were working on a beehive project. So for farmers trying to firstly cut down on deforestation, so to give them another product. Local honey was very popular and there was a growing demand for it. But also, you know, all of the environmental benefits that come from having pollinators there. So what Farm Africa are trying to do is really, you know, look at projects which drive incomes and improve incomes and life chances for people in Africa, but at the same time, you know, make sure we do this in an environmentally sensitive way, much the same way as we are in the UK. And then in when we went to Kenya, a group of us went to Kenya in November just last year, and we were looking at something called Growing Futures, which actually focuses on green beans, but other vegetables as well. supplying into UK supermarkets. Mm. So they're trying to diversify away from maize production, which is a staple, really, in yeah. big parts of East Africa, staple part of the diet. But one of the challenges is it the price is set by the government. So what they're trying to do is, move away from what you might call monocropping into other things that have more value. Mm. And green beans is a good example. And obviously you can buy those in supermarkets in the UK.
You can, yeah. Well, and what about the people you met there? Did they make a big impression on you?
Huge impression. I mean, if I ever think about what it's like to work for the National Farmers Union, for me, it's always about people yeah. and farmers and everybody. As we all, everybody's just doing their best to run the best businesses they can and provide for the family and, and grow their business. And that's exactly what we saw in Kenya. Mm. Unbelievable people really, really trying to get on. And, you almost see more of a direct link almost between education and running a good business, because people are really trying to run a good business in order to put their children through school and then become further educated after that, and then run a good business. So it's all in a cycle. And for me, as a charity, and one of the reasons why I want to run the marathon is because I've met people in Africa who mm. are really doing their best and thinking very similar ways to farmers here. Mm. And Farm Africa as a charity is really making a difference.
Yeah. Do you still keep in touch with anyone out there?
I am, yeah. I'm in touch with, still in touch because it wasn't very long ago in Kenya, so some Farm Africa staff and some people we met mm-hmm. there. But I am in touch with somebody, so now this is 5 years ago, at the end of this year, with a farmer called Clement who farms in Tanzania. And we're in touch on WhatsApp, which I just think is superb. to be in touch with a farmer in Tanzania in a very similar way to it would be with a farmer here, mm-hmm. but almost easier when we think about broadband issues and what it can be like sometimes yes. with an internet connection in parts of the UK. So we're in touch, he's got young children like I do. And I find that really valuable for us to keep in touch and know what's going on in his country and in ours.
Definitely. Are you planning on going over there again anytime soon?
I would like to go. I think it's time to slot things in. I think probably not this year. We've got the marathon to do, but I would like to go again. And I always think that we ask a lot of people when we think about charity work that such a lot of people do, for different charities, whether that's charities abroad or charities here. And often when we're asking people, we don't necessarily see what the impact is. So I find it really valuable to be able to go and see that. I would like to see some more, because it makes me want to do more for the charity.
Definitely.
So I will do, but probably not this year.
Yeah. So some of the issues that farmers are facing there, things like climate change, price volatility, for example, are issues that farmers all around the world are dealing with. When you're out there, did you see many parallels with farming here in the UK?
I did. In terms of the big, you mentioned two big issues there, but, a lot of the conversations as well were around succession. How do we provide opportunities for younger people?
Yeah.
How do we make sure that there's a space in their business? What about access to land, access to finance? Mm. So I think there are a lot of parallels on what you might call the, let's say, cross-cutting issues. But obviously we have a completely different farming system here than we do to there.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things where you can find common ground. So things that I've already mentioned, but equally as well, how do you work up and down a supply chain? What are the standards that you need to adhere to as a farmer to be able to sell into that chain? How much do you receive for your product? It's all a very similar discussion, but it's just at different scales and at different levels.
Mm.
But I think the farmers that came with us, there were five or six of us went, would definitely find some parallels there. And surprisingly, it can be easy to find common ground, which you wouldn't necessarily expect because the farming system is so different.
Yeah, yeah. So after having seen the work that Farm Africa are doing firsthand, what is it that makes them so special as a charity, do you think?
I think what it is their real focus on the practicalities of farming and working with farmers to help them along, and working, most importantly, with people on the ground. So their teams in the different countries that they work in are from the local community.
Mm.
And I think that's really important as well. Well, this isn't about somebody from a charity coming to tell somebody that this is how it should be done. It's about working in partnership with people and have a real focus on the practicalities of producing farm products in the most sustainable way. But how do we really focus on making the most money out of something in order to then develop the chances for everybody? And, you know, and that's when it comes on to the succession point I was talking about before. You know, so many of the farmers that we met are thinking about how do we make a business which allows us to bring our children and family members into this. You know, very, very similar to the focus that we would have in this country. So it's about a real practical application and working directly on the ground with people. And I can't just remember the figures off the top of my head, but I would imagine that some charities are better than others in terms of the money that people donate directly landing and, you know, making a practical impact on the ground. And I should know this off the top of my head, but I don't. But I know it's at a very high level in Farm Africa that that money really gets to people and makes a difference. And you can see that in the work that they're doing and the outcomes of the projects that they're involved in.
Definitely. So you gave the address at Farm Africa's Carol concert in London this last Christmas. You must have felt hugely proud to have been asked to do that.
I did. I really enjoyed it. I could recommend it, actually. It happens every year if anybody listening would like to go on, probably 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas. And it's just a real celebration of everything that Farm Africa does and somehow finds a way to marry everything that is happening in the UK, because such a lot of the, you know, support and the fundraising happens in the UK with what's happening abroad. And it came on the back of we'd been in Kenya probably 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks before that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sort of coming out of that experience to then go and speak at their Carol concert was really great. And then set us up actually for the fundraising that we had to do as we come into this marathon period. So I was really proud to do it.
So what are the plans for the last few weeks before the marathon itself? Lots of carb loading, like me, I expect.
Well, yeah, pasta, and all that. Other carbohydrates, obviously, are available. So we've got to do a lot of that. I've been for a long run. That'll make me 2 weeks before the run, the final long run, which was okay. But I probably maybe should have gone a bit before that. But anyway, that was all right, apart from running past the farm and getting really scared by a big Alsatian dog that came out. So I'm usually quite good with dogs, but this one really scared me. So anyway, that was the final long run. So I will be mainly doing that and trying not to get too jumpy and nervous before we get into it, because it will be here sooner than we think.
It will. So where can people sponsor you and the rest of the NFU team?
So we have got Just Giving page, the usual website, justgiving.com/NFU marathon at the end, or you can get in contact with Farm Africa directly, but we're mainly doing it through that website. So if you look at anybody on Twitter who's running with us, Martin Rogers used to work for NFU, me, Minette, NFU president, Stuart Roberts, NFU vice president, obviously Will, you're running it as well. And get in touch. And the best thing is that actually Farm Africa was successful in their application to get the sponsorship up until the 8th of May, match funded by UK government. So for any sponsorship that happens between now and the 8th of May, it's matched pound for pound by the UK government, which is just superb news. So we're doing our best to raise as much as we can, and then it's doubled up by the government.
Yeah, fantastic. Adam, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. I wish you all the very best of luck for the marathon, and hopefully I'll see you for a celebratory beer afterwards.
And the best of luck to you as well.
Cheers, Adam. So now I'm absolutely delighted to be speaking to Ava Amami, who works in fundraising in Farm Africa's London office and visited the coffee project in Uganda last year. Ava, how are you?
I'm very well, Will, thank you.
Good.
How are you?
I'm really, really good. Did you enjoy the Easter weekend?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Went up to the Lake District for a bit, enjoyed the sunshine. Yeah, lovely.
Great. Okay, so obviously you visited Uganda last year. Can you tell us a bit about Kanunga? It's very high altitude there, isn't it?
Yeah, Kanunga is absolutely stunning, is the simple way to describe it. It's just really lush and green. There's rolling hills everywhere, and then there's the contrast of this really deep red soil. It's just, beautiful. And yeah, banana trees everywhere. That's what you'll notice the most, just banana trees everywhere, because a lot of farmers intercross their coffee plants with banana for the shade from the leaves.
Cool. Okay, so it's a very tropical climate there.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that the first time you'd been? First time you visited?
Yeah, first time in Uganda. And I'd love to go back.
And you mentioned that the main crop there is coffee.
Yeah, coffee and bananas, I would say. They're the main cash crop.
A big difference between farming here in the UK and farming in Uganda is the size of people's farms. So what would be a typical size plot that Ugandan farmers would grow their coffee and bananas on?
It's quite a big disparity, which is generational. That I noticed when I was talking to farmers. So the older generations tended to have quite a lot of land. Some of them had up to 200 acres.
Wow.
Whereas the younger farmers we talked to on average probably had between 1 and 2 acres of land. So a huge disparity in size of land.
Yeah. So is access to land a problem for young people?
Yeah, definitely. Because the older generations tend to hold on to their land for as long as they can. And the younger generations will inherit it when the parents have passed on, which isn't great because it means they can't grow any perennial crops until they're much older as well. So it's quite a long time for them to wait.
And Uganda's, it's a very young country, isn't it? Is it the third youngest population in the world that I read?
Exactly. And unemployment rates for young people are really high. So if they could have access to land for farming, that would really solve a lot of issues.
Yeah, sure. So the new Farm Africa project that's launching later this year with funding from the UK government will focus on giving support to female coffee farmers. Why do you think that's necessary? What's stopping women from being on an equal footing with men in the coffee industry in Uganda?
I think the land is a huge issue. So women don't inherit land typically. It's sons who will inherit their parents' land. So not having the land of their own right holds them back. And also it's just traditionally women aren't involved in sort of the financial sides of farming. So they haven't been involved with selling the produce. They're mainly just involved in the sort of menial labour and not so much the marketing. So yeah, and I mean, women, although there are a lot of cooperatives, coffee cooperatives, that women can become members of, they just typically haven't become members, and women don't really have positions of authority in these cooperatives because, again, traditionally that wasn't seen as their role.
Yeah, so coffee would traditionally be seen as a man's crop.
Yeah, even though it's the women who are growing it and harvesting it, yeah, the men sell it, and therefore it's the man, yeah. It's a man's crop.
Right. Okay. And are attitudes slowly changing, or is that still a problem that needs to be solved?
Yeah, I mean, definitely I could sense a huge difference in the attitudes of the younger generation.
Yeah.
A lot of young couples we talked to said that, well, actually, before the husband goes to sell the coffee, they'll work out together how much they're expecting to get for it, and then they'll create a plan together of how they're going to spend that money. So actually, yeah, the attitude of the younger farmers was very progressive compared to the older generation. But then, it's, you know, women's, the next step is for the women to be able to sell the coffee themselves and to have the financial and business skills to have confidently go and negotiate prices like their husbands can.
What is Farm Africa's approach then to helping the farmers in Uganda achieve their potential?
Well, with women specifically, we're going to offer training in business skills, and just more generally, we're going to be supporting farmers with training in improved agricultural techniques, teaching them how to grow better quality coffee, how to increase their yields, how to do this in an environmentally friendly way, and again, just with all the farmers developing their business skills.
Okay, so how do you help farmers to make better links with high value coffee buyers, because I know that's something that's important going forward, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So just improving the quality of their coffee will allow them to do that, really. So if we can say there's this buyer and he wants like pure Arabica coffee of this quality, then we can help them reach those standards so they can sell to those lucrative marketers.
Yeah, okay. I mean, in practical terms, I'm looking at the map, I'm guessing that the sheer distances involved and logistics of getting a coffee crop to market is a difficult thing to overcome. Is that something that Farm Africa helps with?
Yeah, definitely. So by helping the farmers set up cooperatives, it means that they can all take their coffee, well, the co-ops can sort of collect their coffee communally, and then most of them won't have to then transport it. It will be done through the co-ops in a more efficient way by setting up local processing centres, which is something we're doing at the moment. Mm. It'll just be much easier for smallholders to come together and sell the coffee in bulk and transport it in bulk.
Yeah. Okay. So what kind of training do you provide to the farmers there? I know technology is playing a huge part, isn't it?
Yeah, we have technology definitely helps us reach more people. It helps more people, especially, again, women who have family responsibilities and household responsibilities as well. It really helps them be able to access training from their own homes, which is fantastic. And, you know, the younger generation really are very technology savvy, and they want to learn as much as they can about technology and modern farming techniques. So.
Yeah. I guess just, yeah, people, I suppose a few years ago, people would have had to travel a long way to meetings and things like that. But now with smartphone technology and things, people literally don't have to leave their farms, do they?
Exactly. So their other responsibilities don't suffer, as I said, especially in the case of the women.
Hmm. I mean, what changes have you seen there since Farm Africa's project started?
I think one of the main things, one of the main issues while I was there was that farmers were mixing their Robusta and Arabica coffee, which really was sort of disabling them from getting a good price because they just weren't differentiating between the two types of coffee. And that's something that I know has definitely changed since the project has started. They are differentiating their different types of coffee.
Okay. Now, there's a lot of talk about climate change amongst farmers all over the world. How's that affecting farmers in Kanungu?
In Kanungu in particular, I think there's a lot of unpredictable rainfall. Basically, there's either too much rain, there's excessive rainfall, or there's drought, and both of that leads to lower yields. It means there's less food available for families to eat and then less to sell as well, so their incomes fall.
And finally, Ava, being involved with Farm Africa and working on projects like this and perhaps more relevantly, actually seeing the results and the way it changes lives, that must be really quite something to be involved with.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it makes such a huge difference going to actually see these projects and speaking to the farmers and hearing from them how much this is affecting their life. It just makes, when I come back and write these stories, it just, I've been there, I've seen it.
Okay, Ava, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us, and all the very best for the future with Farm Africa.
Thank you, it's been a pleasure.